Some students at halls run by the University of Auckland will refuse to pay their fees from next month in protest at what they say are unjustifiable price hikes. The weekly cost to live in a single standard room at Waipāruru Hall, the university's and the country's biggest student residence, jumped from $470 last year to $540 this year. The rent strike's being led by Students for Fair Rent, which says that an 8% jump is out of whack with inflation and beyond the means of students in full-time study with limited time to earn additional income. Last year, 9 to Noon touched on the issue of residential advisors in Auckland University halls losing their rent reduction this year. The organisation's chair, Matthew Lee, says attempts to engage with the university on the issue of rising rents has gone nowhere. Kia ora, Matthew, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Catherine.
So what's proposed? Is it a total rent strike, full withholding of rents? What's proposed?
Yeah, so it's a total rent strike right now. Like you said, we've tried to engage with the university in a constructive manner. Unfortunately, that's gotten us nowhere, and that's why we're doing what we're doing.
How many students on board do you know? What sort of proportion?
Yeah, so there are 2,000 students who live in student accommodation. We're making our official announcement at 1:30 today at the university. And so, we're going to take pledges until the 1st of May when we officially start the rent strike. So as of right now, I have no idea.
What do you want the university to do?
Well, I mean, first of all, I want them to lower rent. I want them to recognise that this is actually a big problem.
Fantastic.
And it is a big problem. Students are struggling to pay rent, and that's not right. And also want safeguards against future rent increases. So I think last time I said as well, we want them to use measures of inflation and wage growth, the average rent of Auckland Central, and student income as a measure against future rent increases.
How much have rents gone up, not just between last year and this year, but over the last few years, Matthew? I mean, they were sitting more like 300 or even a bit below that not too long ago?
Yeah, well, 2 years ago I was living at Waipāruru Hall. I was paying $435. Now it's at $510 to $540. So it's a massive increase. It's been an 8% increase year on year for the past few years at both our catered and non-catered accommodations.
How should rent be calculated? What's this discussion you're having with the university?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, it should look a lot more like the average rent in Auckland Central. So if we're looking at sort of a boarding house just like Waipāruru Hall, it's around 230. And if we're looking at just a regular room in a flat, that's around $200 to $230. And so what I'm paying right now at a self-catered accommodation, which is a room in a flat essentially, I'm paying $350. That difference is not justified by the services that they provide. First of all, it has to look a lot more like the average rent, but it also has to take into account that these are students that are paying. We're full-time students. We should be studying full-time. We shouldn't be expected to work 10, 20, even 30 hours just to pay rent. We're taking time out of lectures, out of assignments, out of school, out of our social life just to pay rent. That doesn't include things like tuition, which is almost 10 grand a year, and food and other utilities.
So what services are offered at your hall? You get full catering, do you get laundry? What services are offered?
Yeah, so I live at a self-catered accommodation, so I don't get
you
food
don't
at all.
Get I meals don't get provided. Food. And you're paying how much?
$350 a week.
Okay.
Yes.
And at this one that's going up from $475.40, or has gone up, is that fully catered?
Yeah, so that's Waipāruru Hall going up from $475 to $510 and $540 this year. So they get food, fully catered. They get a laundry room, a games room, and a music room. But again, that just doesn't justify the massive price difference.
So how many halls are in your sites? Is it all the university's halls of residence?
Yeah, it's all of the catered and non-catered halls.
And so what has the university said to you so far?
Well, we submitted a petition with 1,500 signatures last year. We also held a big rally to signify that. Since then, we've had a few correspondence with the university, and we've had a meeting with the university as well. Unfortunately, that hasn't gone as constructively as we had hoped. It's clear that the university is not going to recognise this as an issue that they want to focus on fixing, and they're not going to work constructively with the campaign to find a solution that works for both of us.
What are your concerns about what might happen if you withhold the payment of fees?
Yeah, well, I think this morning the university has come out saying that they are, they could consider actions like sort of even eviction and stuff like that. The university is completely within their rights to do something like that. What I'm hoping is, though, is that the rent strikes will, the problem will solve itself before it gets to that point. Obviously, I want to avoid a rent strike. I don't want to put anyone in the position where they are at risk. But unfortunately, the university has just proven that they are just unwilling to work constructively with the campaign and with student representatives. And that's why we have to do what we do.
All right. Let's stay with us. Thank you, Matthew. Let's bring in Chloe Swarbrick, who's co-leader of the Greens, also MP for Auckland Central, and is supporting the rent strike. Why are you backing it as an MP, MP for Auckland Central? Why are you backing this, please, Chloe? Good morning.
Morena, Catherine. Well, first thing that I would say is that I back the COPPA behind students with their rent. I've actually had nothing to do with organising or coordinating the rent strike whatsoever. But of course, it's entirely within the realm of regular activism, organisation and advocacy for students to withhold the power that they have, which is their payment of their rent. So look, students with their rent have been incredibly clear that soaring rents and student accommodation not only drive financial stress, but also that it comes at the expense of why they're there in the first place, which is quality-focused education. Higher rental costs means less money for Kai. Higher rental costs means students are working more and studying less. It means our future doctors, teachers, mental health workers, scientists, nurses and researchers aren't in the conditions conducive to get the best education that they are paying for. And that's a problem which I think all of us should be focused on resolving.
What is interesting is that when we sought statement from the university this, and we've got a statement from them, one of the questions we asked was, has the university noticed any decline in applications for its halls this year? And it says, we opened semester one at 99.8% occupancy, consistent with 2023 numbers. We also have a substantial waiting list for our safe, self-catered residences. So, Chloe, what's going on there if there's no decline in demand?
You're seeing an indication of the housing crisis, I think. Look, I'd reflect on two big pieces of work that have occurred in the last 2 years. The first being the Student Accommodation Inquiry 2021, which I spearheaded through the Education Workforce Select Committee in Parliament, actually driven by COVID-19, where we heard from students across the country who were being charged for accommodation that they couldn't stay in and being threatened with their grades being withheld if they did not pay for that accommodation, which they did not use. And effectively, we found an incredibly under-regulated sector. So I think it's really important for everybody who's listening to know that right now, under the Residential Tenancies Act, under Section 5B, student accommodation is excluded from all of the other regulations that we impose on regular rental situations. The likes of rent controls that see rents only rising approximately every 12 months or so in line with what is deemed to be market rent, and there's an ability to challenge that through the Tenancy Tribunal. Students in student accommodation do not have that access to the Tenancy Tribunal. The other big piece of work was the People's Inquiry into Student Wellbeing in 2022. Which told us back in 2022 that 2/3 of students regularly cannot afford the basics. It was unsustainable back then, and it's only become more so now. So something's got to give, and that's why I'm not only leaving this to the University of Auckland to resolve, but have escalated it up the food chain to the minister responsible for this, Minister Chris Bishop, in Parliament too.
The situation the universities will say it is in is like all of them, most of them anyway, are running deficits, and they're under pressure, and they're looking for revenue streams. The universities also told us in their statement, among other things, that they are looking at capital increases. This year we've committed to a $20 million upgrade for one of our accommodation premises, University Hall Apartments, to improve their overall quality and safety systems. It should also be noted the fees students pay include furniture, power, water, Wi-Fi and heating, as well as access to recreation centre and its sites. With the massive jump in the CPI in 2022 and high inflationary pressures since, our costs have risen. Food by 12%, wages 10%. Our fee increases for 2024 were an average 8.2% for catered halls and 7.3% for self-catered halls. Their argument is we're facing these cost increases, we're passing them on, Chloe.
Yeah, I hear that argument, absolutely, but I think you only need to look at the discrepancies between the average rent in Auckland Central and what these halls are charging. And I think the other really important point is that these halls are places with shared bathrooms, shared cleaning facilities, shared living spaces and restrictions on visitors. They are not typical rental environments. And I think the bigger point as well that you're touching on here with regard to the tertiary education system is that the tertiary education funding model is fundamentally broken. And this was also touched upon that last year when we managed to work with then the Minister of Education to get a review into the tertiary education funding model. The terms of reference actually signed off by this government just a few weeks ago completely excluded student voice as a central focus within that tertiary education funding model review. So that needs to be addressed as well. But look, the bigger point with regard to student accommodation as a whole, and this was reflected in the student accommodation inquiry out of the Education and Workforce Select Committee, is that we need a universal not-for-profit operation model for student accommodation to bring about a shift in focus from commerciality to well-being of our students so they can focus on why they're there, which is their education.
Okay, final point to each of you. What happens if the strike goes ahead and in time the university does start threatening to withhold grades or threatening evictions, Chloe? What would happen?
Well, look, again, we hope that we don't get to that point, as Matthew has outlined, but it's entirely within the power of students to do everything that they possibly can to have their voices heard. And this is where I'd hope that there would be more of a national level response as well, because this doesn't only sit on the shoulders of the university, but also, as we've touched upon, the funding model for our tertiary education institutions and the structural legislative framework that student accommodation is presently excluded from.
Which is Residential Tenancies Act, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Matthew Lee, back to you quickly again. As you know, you announce this today and wait to see who comes on board. You know, that obvious question is, what will the university do in response? We ask them, and the fullness of the reply that we got at this stage was that students have a right to express their opinions and views so long as they're respectful and peaceful. What they don't add is what they might do if this goes ahead and carries on for some time. What's your thinking about that, Matthew?
Well, I think the university has responsibility to provide safe, secure and affordable accommodations to its students. Unfortunately, it doesn't. And I think they have a responsibility to engage constructively and in good faith manner with its student representatives. Unfortunately, it doesn't. But the campaign's position is, we are always open to working with the university. We want to find a solution that is happy for everyone. But like you said, like Chloe said before, actually, the fault isn't entirely on the university. Student accommodation is completely unregulated and unsubsidized by the government. And so we're hoping that the government will step in as well and intervene so we don't get to that point.
Thank you, Matthew Lee, Students for Fair Rent, and Chloe Swarbrick, MP for Auckland Central. I've referenced most of the key points out of that Auckland University statement.